So let's encourage our hearts tonight from the Word of God. Title of tonight's message, Come and See. Come and See. What an invitation. The invitation of all invitations, God Himself to us. And so we'll see the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to Andrew and John. But of course, this is how God deals with all of us. But let's go to John chapter 1. This is a tremendous blessing of a chapter. And looking at how the Lord deals with us. Praise God. And so let's go to verse 39. We'll start here. John chapter 1, verse 39. May this really encourage our hearts to know as God is then, this is how He is today with you and I. And so what an invitation. Maybe make good on that and show up in person. Amen. And so verse 39, the Word of God says, He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where He dwelt and abode with Him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Amen. Let us pray. Abba, Father, what a blessing again to be in Thy house tonight. Thank you for Your precious Word, the wonderful words of life. Thank you, Father, for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for who You are, the immutable Lord, the ever-loving Father. Lord, I thank You that You love us so much, even more than we love ourselves, even more than I can comprehend. And Father, just through the salvation through Jesus Christ, that we have the unsearchable riches of Christ. And so, Father, we ask that You bless now the preaching and teaching of Thy holy word. Thank You, Father, for your invitation to come and see. Help me, Father, to be right there, to always approach You, to see firsthand, Lord, even as the Apostle John, and then, you know, Andrew and Peter and Philip and Nathaniel. Lord, help us to be numbered with them, Father, to those who have obediently answered the call to come and see for salvation and then for spiritual growth. Father, we are so thankful for Your goodness to us. Thank You, Father, that You invited me in spite of myself. And Father, we love You. Bless now Your word, that it goes forth with Holy Spirit power to encourage and to stir hearts. And we love You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. What a blessing. Thank you, boys. That's a joy. And again, knowing God, it is so wonderful. It's more than just knowing facts about God. It's knowing God personally, from the heart. And, you know, you can argue and you can say, some might say that many know facts about God. However, few know God the way that God intends us to know Him. You can say two believers, two Christians that have the same level of Bible knowledge. Maybe they both have the same GPA in Bible college. Maybe they score the same on Bible quizzes. Doesn't necessarily mean that they have the same relationship with God, because it's more than just intellectual. It goes beyond that. It's relational. You can consider maybe a Bible college theologian or a Bible college professor versus a simple church layman. It doesn't say that just because one is smarter or have more Bible factoids that they are necessarily closer with a walk with the Lord. It's a matter of the heart. Jesus praying in Gethsemane, of course we know the story. Peter, James, and John, they were a stone cast away from Jesus. And then further back, of course, you get the other eight, including Andrew. But of course, the closer you get to Jesus, the fewer there are in number. The smaller the group gets, the closer you get to Jesus. Of course, the 12th disciple, the traitor Judas, was not even in the group. He was coming with the bad guy, with the guards, but he wasn't even there in the mix. If we want the true power of God in our lives, may we truly come and see ourselves. It is a tremendous invitation. That here, this is the pattern here. We read through the scriptures of how Jesus deals with the two disciples of John the Baptist. But by extension, this is how the Lord deals with us today. And so I want us to see the context here. Again, this is Andrew and John. Of course, we know them. In fact, most of us, you know, we would know them as only, you know, the disciples of Jesus, you know, two of the 12. Of course, the scripture reveals to us that they were, before that, they were disciples of John the Baptist. So let's go to verse 35, just to get some context here. And it's so humbling to see John the Baptist do this. He, of course, was the friend of the bridegroom. He, of course, was the cousin to Jesus, our Lord and Savior. But when we see John the Baptist, how humble he was. Of course, remember John the Baptist, what a testimony, by the way, where he was such a godly man that people kept mistaking him for Jesus. You know, people thought he was the Messiah. He kept, no, not me, not the Messiah. He would preach the truth, and people thought, whoa, man, this guy's got to be the Messiah. Nope, it's not me. I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes. I mean, this was John's problem. People kept thinking he was the Messiah. What a praise. And Jesus, of course, praised among everyone else and really, you know, showed forth the testimony of John the Baptist out of those born of women, right? None greater. And what a testimony. But John the Baptist, how humble he was now that Jesus is on the scene, now that, you know, and look at verse 35. It says, again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and so this is Andrew and John. Andrew and John, devout Jewish men, fishermen, but they loved, you know, the Messiah that will be coming to redeem them. They were faithful to John the Baptist. And so he's going to pass them off now. And look at verse 36. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, now he's speaking to his John and Andrew, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And it's a wonderful reminder to parents, to preachers, that our role is not to hoard the children or to hoard others, is to direct them to Jesus Christ, the same way that John the Baptist is doing it here. John the Baptist can speak truth. In fact, there's another wonderful testimony of John the Baptist. You know, when they said he did no miracle, but everything he spoke about this man, Jesus Christ, is what? It's true. What a testimony. Of course, he himself would say he's not the Messiah. And so his goal, his end game is to direct people to the Messiah. And this is exactly what he's doing here. John, Andrew, this is the Messiah. Behold the Lamb of God. There he is. Go after him. He's the one that will redeem you. I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness, right? That's what John would say. And so Jesus, look at verse 38. Then Jesus turned, saw them following, saith unto them, what seek ye? Of course, the Lord knows the answer, but he's asking because he wants us to confess it. He wants us to know the answer. And so, what seek ye? They said unto him, and what a wonderful, again, just very, very sincere, very down to earth. And they say, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, master, of course, teacher, master. They call Jesus Rabbi. Where dwellest thou? And here we see the heart of God in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ, when he was asked here, where dwellest thou? At the surface, he could have just given a description of where he is. It's like if someone asked me, where do I stay? Oh, I say, oh, I live in 2600. I'll just give my address, right? I could do that. But Jesus doesn't say that. He doesn't just give them factually where he stays. In fact, he doesn't even tell them where he stays. But he says what? Come and see. What an invitation. He didn't just, and again, and it's because of how us and God is built on a relationship. It's not built on just facts, okay? It's built on a living relationship. And so he tells Andrew and John, come and see. What an invite. Can you imagine if asking the president, you know, hey, where do you reside? And instead of the president saying 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, the president says, come and see. Like, whoa, all right, I got an invitation to the White. Well, again, this is the King of Kings. And he tells these two fishermen, come and see. And because of the invitation, there's the pattern. Because verse 39 starts with the invitation, it can continue. It says, they came and saw. Now, they couldn't came and saw. They couldn't come and see if Jesus didn't invite them. But praise God, Jesus invited them. But also, praise God, they took him up on that invite, right? And so Jesus says, come and see. They heeded that. And so hence, they came and saw. Perfect. Exactly the way God wanted. Where he dwelt. And abode with him that day. When you think of abiding in Christ, John 15, it only happens when we come and see. It's not just knowing intellectually facts about Jesus that allows us to come and see and to abide with him. We actually have to go in person. We actually have to go out and trust and do what he says. Abode with him that day. And it was about the 10th hour. A wonderful invitation to come and see. It's personal from God. To not just John and Andrew, it's personal from God to us. God just didn't send anyone else to do that. Yes, I understand this is written by man, but what John writes is under inspiration of who? The Holy Spirit. And so it is the Lord that is penning these words using John and Paul and the rest of the Bible writers to invite us personally to come and see. Number one, it is a personal invitation from God. Number two is a personal invitation from God to us. And so this is a wonderful invitation. God doesn't just give the invitation himself and put it in, I don't know, some city hall where people may or may not see it when they come about their business. They might see, oh, hey, what's this? Oh, that's an invitation from who? From God. It says, hey, we got to know. God doesn't just give a personal invitation in mass. He gives a personal invitation from himself to each individual human being. This is so amazing. He doesn't just put it up in City Hall. In fact, it comes directly to our house, the house of our heart. And he doesn't just send a mailman. He doesn't just send a prophet. He doesn't just send a preacher. He doesn't just send an angel. The Holy Spirit comes and gives the message and gives the invitation, knocking on every human heart. That is an invitation from God himself through the Holy Spirit, knocking on hearts' doors. May we receive it. Amen. Too many reject it. Too many ignore it. And they ignore it. It sears the conscience. And eventually the knocking gets softer and softer and softer. And they can't even hear it. But it doesn't get more personal than this. Because God himself, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the one that sacrificed and died for us and rose for us. God himself gives the invitation. The Holy Spirit himself, God is a spirit. He comes and he invites us to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, this is so personal. This is so amazing. God's invitation, again, personal from God, personally to you and I. And so when we receive it, it's a tremendous honor. When we decline it, oh me. And again, it starts with salvation. But even after that, God invites us to come and see, come and see, come and see. May I do good with that invitation, okay? May I not just keep God waiting? May I truly answer that call? See how God deals with, well, look at this here, look at verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Now he first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. Now he doesn't just stop there. And Peter says, okay, that sounds good. And Andrew, okay, sounds good. I'll see you later. No, it continues. And he brought him to Jesus. Andrew desired it. Peter desired it. When Andrew said, Peter, you got to see him. And Peter goes, yes, I want to see him. Let's go. Because Peter wanted to come and see. Andrew had done it. Andrew had come and seen. Peter hadn't yet. And so Peter knows, oh, Andrew, you went and saw Jesus? Oh, I want you to. Me too. So he comes. Where does he live? Come, I'll show you where he dwells. Because Andrew knows. Because he has seen it. He came and seen. So he knows, right? If we want to lead someone to Jesus Christ, we need to know Jesus Christ ourselves, okay? And so when Jesus beheld, now Peter's coming, when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Of course, Cephas would be Petra or Peter, okay? And so that he calls him Peter or Cephas, a stone. And it doesn't just stop there, because God's invitation is personal from God. But it's to the entire human race individually. Look at verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, findeth Philip, saith unto him, follow me. And so Philip saw. Jesus came to him. How about that? But Philip saw him right there, follows him. Now, so Philip is walking with Jesus. Now look at Philip's good friend Nathanael, right? So verse 44. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael. So he finds his buddy Nathanael and saith unto him. Now, you know, I can imagine myself as Philip, all excited, you know, you just met the Messiah. You're kind of, you know, just hopping around. You're ready to share the good news. And you tell your good friend Nathanael, we have found him. We, you know, so Andrew, Peter, John, myself, you know, we've all seen him. Nathanael, come on, you're missing out. We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Okay, that he's you know, because the one that fulfills the prophecy, which Nathanael is very familiar with, the one that the Old Testament writers that Moses is prophesying is this Jesus of Nazareth. Which one? The son of Joseph. And so Nathanael, of course, well, look at verse 46, Mr. Skeptical here. And so Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? It's like someone telling me, hey, we found something from San Francisco. Pick your favorite place or your least favorite place, okay? And then you just get so, we're so biased, like, no way. I can't be like that. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Look at how Philip says it to him. Philip doesn't debate him. Philip doesn't try to convince Nathanael. All Philip says is what? Philip saith to him, come and see. Come and see for yourself, Nathanael. Come and see, and you be the judge. But you come and see. Don't take my word for it, either which way. Come and see. Look at verse 47. So Nathanael, you know, he accepts the invitation. He said, sure, I'll come and see. He follows Philip. And so they're coming in towards Jesus. Verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, saith of him. Now, what a compliment. Jesus is not just talking to Nathanael as he is talking about him, right? It says, saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed. What a praise. Jesus knows Nathanael, and he tells everyone else about Nathanael, saying he's an Israelite indeed. In other words, this is how an Israelite should be, a model Israelite. Everyone, this is an Israelite how it should be. How an Israelite should be is like Nathanael. An Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. He's devout, he's sincere, you know, he's not faking it. He's got no angle, no ulterior motive. He just wants the truth. That's what he pursues. Nathanael, of course, is taken back at this, right? Verse 48, he comes in, Jesus is praising him. And so he says in verse 48, Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Now again, he took up Philip's invite, so he's coming and seeing. Okay, so this is his encounter with the Christ. So Nathanael, of course, is taken aback. He says, he gets kind of defensive, which I can relate to, right? He says, whence knowest thou me? It's like, when do you know me? How do you know I'm devout? He knows it, you know, he knows that he's devout. But how do you know that about me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Jesus reveals his omniscience to Nathanael. And Nathanael, because of the tenderness of his heart, he's going to do a complete 180. At first, he was Mr. Skeptical. We're going to see him completely swing the pendulum 180 to be Mr. Believer. Okay, at first he was all out, now he's going to be all in. Just a tremendous testimony to his faith. Look at verse 49. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Remember, his mindset before when he was under the fig tree, when Philip called him, he said, did you say Nazareth? Nope, nothing good can come out of that. You know, and so he was completely, nope, not buying it. But now, because he came and saw. It is because he came and saw. It wasn't, you know, Philip saying, hey, read this commentary. It wasn't, you know, Nathanael's mom and dad saying, no, Jesus is the, you know, it was Nathanael coming and seeing Jesus personally. That did it. That changed his heart, and that would change all of our hearts, okay? And so from his encounter with the Christ, Nathanael does a 180. He answered and said to him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Wow. That's amazing. Again, from before, saying, when do you know me? Now he's worshiping the Lord. And look at verse 50. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? He did, but that Jesus is affirming that. Thou shalt see greater things than these. And so what a praise. And the Lord Jesus is saying, Nathanael, I told you just this simple thing and you believed it? With that faith, you're going to see great, great things. With that faith in my word, you're going to see amazing. I mean, the Lord is telling him, again, this Israelite indeed in whom there is no guile. If you so readily accept what I said right now, wait till we got more coming yet. Okay, I mean, this is what he's telling him. Verse 51, and he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you. And so we know this is going to happen. Hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Like, wow, wow. Man, I can't even take that in. But the idea is, when we come and see, God changes us. I might find myself like, I don't know, maybe I'm curious Andrew or John. I was already seeking for the truth. Maybe I find myself, I'm just minding my own business like Peter. Like maybe he was fishing Andrew comes up to him and says, "Hey, brother, you won't believe what happened. And so maybe I'm doing my own thing, and then invite comes, come and see. Maybe I'm contemplating the mysteries of the universe, like Nathaniel was under the fig tree. I don't know what he was thinking, but it was resonated with him, and Jesus called that moment out. And so maybe I'm a Nathaniel. Maybe I'm a Peter. Maybe I'm an Andrew. I'm just happening, you know, and John the Baptist points me this way. But regardless of where I am, all ends the same way when they come and see a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. When we come and see, my friends, when we interact, and it was the interaction, it was dealing with God. God knows our heart. Don't hold back in prayer. Tell God your heart. If I'm like a Nathaniel praying to God, if God already knows what's in my heart, I don't want to say this. This sounds weird or sounds offensive, so I'm not going to say no. If I got some beef, or if I have some uncertainty, if I have some unknown, if I want to complain to God like David did, like Nathaniel, he goes, "Whence knowest thou me?" I said, "God, when you know." And when God interacts with us, He changes us. Because my friends, ultimately, I want to get to verse 50, 51, where it's my faith in God that allows me to see great and mighty things. When we read the scriptures, when we come and see, it speaks to us differently than when someone else just tells us about it. When we read in, I don't know, Hebrews 10:25, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Is it just the writer of the Hebrews to the Jewish believers? Is it the writer of the Hebrews to us? Or is it God to me? When I come and see, when I converse with God like Nathaniel, it's God to me. And we take it differently when we've come and seen, because it has to be from the Lord to us in our relationship with Him. Not through any other third person. That's not how God desires it. God can use that, but God wants it to be between Him and us, to come and see. See for ourselves. I think of the Queen of Sheba. There's so many examples in Scripture. It's not till they see it themselves, and like, then it clicks. This is God's way of dealing with you and I. Don't settle for John the Baptist. What I mean by that is too many Christians, maybe we settle for commentaries. That's just John the Baptist. John the Baptist said, "Hey, don't settle for me. That's the Lamb of God. You go to Him personally. You go to Him personally. Spend time with the Lord. May we know not just about the Lord, but may we know truly the Lord and spend time with Him in prayer, which we do in a bit. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Abba, Father, I thank You so much that the invitation of all invitations that You've given to all mankind, first for salvation and then for fellowship. Father, may I not stop just because I'm saved. May we go all the way. May we come and see. Lord, I think of John and Andrew, that they came and saw. what a testimony, Father, that we know that You say, come and see. May it be said of all of us that we came and saw. Lord, that we are the Nathaniel in me, Lord, that things that I might doubt, that You would show me and just prove me wrong. And so, Father, what a humbling thought that You invite all of us to Your throne room, to just be with You, Father. And Lord, what a humbling thought to know that it is none other than Yourself, the Holy Spirit of God, through the living Word of God that speaks to us. Lord, that is such a, boy, Lord, what a humbling thought, Lord. I can't even wrap my mind around the truth of how personal You are. Personal God to little old me. And so, Father, we love You. Bless us tonight, Lord, as we come to You in prayer. Meet with us as we come assuredly, yet humbly, in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple of